Matt was picked as one of the real innovative leaders to help bring this to the Western United States, look at new crops and cropping systems, and then to add on the complexity that so many of our crops are irrigated.
This is the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. Yara is the global leader in crop nutrition knowledge and the leading producer of quality fertilizer products. The podcast is intended to facilitate the transfer of knowledge for farmers and crop advisors, improving farm profitability and environmental sustainability. With Yara, knowledge grows.
Hey, thanks for joining another edition of the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. My name is Scott Warr, and today we're going to talk about what else? The four R's of nutrient stewardship. And we have somebody, a guest with us today. We have Matt Yost with us, who is an assistant professor at USU, Utah State University. He's also an agroclimate extension specialist. I don't know what that means, Matt. What is an agroclimate extension specialist?
That's a great question, Scott. it's a unique type of position. There's not very many of them across the country. And I was hired to help agriculture deal with impacts of climate. And for us in Utah and much of the Western United States, water is a big deal. And that's one of our most pressing climate impacts. And so much of what I do is try to help agriculture deal with water scarcity. And so we're looking for ways to optimize water use, but also looking at fertilizer use and other inputs that we can do a better job at managing to help kind of adapt to impacts of climate.
Let's back up for people that have not really gone back and listened to a lot of our episodes. From your perspective, can you explain what the four R's of nutrient stewardship are?
Sure. Yeah, this is a concept, a framework that has been around for a long time. The idea here, and it applies not just to fertilizer, but other inputs as well. But the idea for fertilizer is that we focus on these four R's. So we've got a right. And these represent rights. So we've got the right place, the right time, the right source, and the right rate. And so it's really focusing on these four areas of fertilizer management that hopefully address a variety of important outcomes like productivity for the farmer, profitability, but also environmental stewardship. And so it's a framework that helps. Helps us to meet those goals and focus on those four areas of how we manage fertilizer.
Has our four R's of nutrient management or four R's of nutrient stewardship, has that changed as the climate has changed?
Certainly, yeah. It's a framework that has to continuously change. Each R interacts with other R's. And is complex, and these interactions tend to change as you get into different environments, as the weather changes, and so yes, it's a constant effort to try to understand and best utilize these four R's.
We have also joining us, of course, as we regularly do, Rob Mickelson, who's our Director of Agronomic Services. Rob, tell us the reason why you wanted Matt on this podcast.
Well, Matt is doing some really exciting research to look at this interaction between climate, weather, and nutrient management. And I think some people get the idea that four R's are static. They're in place. Once you do them, you're done. And we don't just take the four R's from Iowa or Indiana and move them into the Mountain West. And so Matt is really looking at how to interact all these pieces together to make farmers become more successful. So Matt has recently received a grant to help support some of this. And maybe, Matt, you could tell us a little bit about that for our research fund, if you wouldn't mind, and then maybe how you're implementing that.
Sure. Thanks, Rob. So a few years ago, there was a call from the for our research fund for proposals that addressed the four R's, and specifically there was interest in the Western United States and the major crops that would are present in this area, and so we were keenly interested in this call because much of the Western United States is in need of some updating of fertilizer recommendations and really additional information in some of these systems that maybe don't get as much attention as some of the big crops like corn or soybean. And so we put together a proposal that tried to address some of these, but also a unique thing about our proposal is that we wanted to look at interactions. And this is difficult. It's as I mentioned earlier, if you look at a single 4R practice, it's much more simple. So for example, you can focus on a rate, right? And you say, okay, what's the optimal rate of a particular fertilizer like nitrogen? And you try to isolate that and really determine what that rate might be. And that in itself is quite challenging. We've spent decades trying to pinpoint and isolate optimum rates of a fertilizer like nitrogen for a variety of crops. And that's a challenge. But what we wanted to try to address was the interactions of those four R's, and wanted to learn what combination, what suite of practices might result in the best outcome, the best yield of the crop, the best profit, the best environmental outcomes. And so that hasn't been done very often, if at all. And so we designed a really large experiment. We have most of our sites, we have about 18 treatments, which is a lot if you're familiar with agricultural research. And the idea was to look at each practice alone. So in our trials, we have each R represented as four treatments, and then we start looking at interactions. So we put two of the four R's together and look at all of those combinations, and then we put three of them together and all of those combinations, and then finally we look at managing all four R's at the same time, using the best science available to see what impacts they have. And so in the end, we hope to really understand which 4R alone, which combinations of 4R practices are going to have the best outcome, the best result. And to get started, we focus just on nitrogen. And so that's the focus of this work. And we're looking at a variety of crops. So we have wheat, potato, corn, and tart cherries, which is a major fruit crop in Utah. And so for these crops at four locations in Idaho and one in Utah, so a total of five sites where we have a similar design and a similar experiment at these sites. And we're really trying to understand those interactions of the 4R practices. And the other piece is to also look at the effect on water use efficiency. And so at each of these trials, we're also looking at water use and how the 4R practices influence water use, which is, as Rob was saying earlier, is certainly a huge deal in the Western United States, particularly this year where we have widespread drought.
The 4R Research Fund is really something that's quite unique, and I want to brag just a little bit before we get into the specifics of Matt's work. It was set up almost 10 years ago as an initiative by the fertilizer industry in North America, both in the United States and Canada. And there were about 100 contributors that got together and said, we need more research about the appropriate 4Rs across the country. And so the first 5 years of funding, there were several million dollars that were donated by these companies. And Yara North America is one of the major contributors to that fund. Unfortunately, most of that work focused in the Corn Belt, unfortunately for us in the West, at least. So the second call for proposals that Matt is talking about, they said, okay, we need to expand beyond corn and soybeans. So Matt was picked as one of the real innovative leaders to help bring this to the Western United States, look at new crops and cropping systems, and then to add on the complexity that so many of our crops are irrigated. And Matt, if you don't mind, maybe you could tell us then about how water fits into all this and how water is important for nutrient management.
Yes, sure. Thanks, Rob, for that, that information. So that was another piece that was really important. And so the title actually of our proposal was Stacking and Intersecting Nutrient and Irrigation 4Rs. And so the other piece of this study is to alter how we manage water. So the former description that I gave you really focused on what we're doing in terms of fertilizer, looking at fertilizer use and management. Another piece of this project, a large piece as well, is looking at water management. And so we have another three sites in Utah where we're studying about 16 to 18 different ways to manage water. And in these trials, we're also looking at how that affects nutrient use efficiency, nitrogen and some other nutrients. And so it's a two-pronged approach, I guess, where in one set of experiments, we're changing how we manage the water, and we want to see how that affects nutrient use and nutrient 4Rs. And in the other set of experiments, we'll alter fertilizer management and see how that influences water use and water use efficiencies. Ideally, we would have put all these things together, but our experiments would have become so complex and so large that we don't think we could have managed them. And so this is the kind of the first and the best way that we could come up with to try to understand those interactions between nutrient 4Rs and irrigation 4Rs.
How long have you been doing the experiments?
We were funded in 2019, and we got started officially on the field experiments in 2020. So last year was our first season. We had everything was set up at four of the five sites. Due to a crop rotation, the fifth one has started this year. So this is the first year that we have all five sites that are now operational.
What kind of results have you drawn so far, or is it too early to have learnings?
It's a good question. We're kind of right in the middle of working through large amounts of data and trying to understand what we're seeing. So it is early to know what's happening yet, but we have seen certainly influence of the nitrogen treatments at several of the sites. The most pronounced, as you would expect, is where we put no fertilizer versus any type of fertilizer. We see a pretty significant difference. But so far, just in some preliminary results, we haven't seen a lot of difference in crop yield among the different 4R nitrogen practices. We're hoping to see more of and have not yet kind of processed the economic portion, which will be the most important, or one of the most important outcomes, is to really compare the economics of several different 4R practices to see how kind of return on investment you get from the different practices. But I wish we had more at this point, but we're just feeling very fortunate that we were able to conduct all the trials last year and collect all of the data that we intended to, given the crazy year we had.
I have a question for both of you, and this, you know, you may think it's a pretty absurd question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because that's my role on this podcast. Why should we even worry about this? I mean, we've been growing these crops for hundreds of years. Why we've learned how to grow a pretty good crop. Why should we even worry about these 4 R's of nutrient stewardship, whether it's on the irrigation side or the nutrient side? We'll start with you, Rob.
Thanks, Scott. That's a great question because you're right. We have a tremendously productive agricultural system in North America. We are so blessed with an abundant food supply that is relatively inexpensive. So it would be easy to say, let's just keep doing what we're doing. Why mess up a good thing? Well, in part, it's not such a good thing. Let me give you a California example. And many of the groundwater supplies in the Central Valley, in the richest agricultural region of perhaps the world, some of those groundwater resources are now contaminated with nitrate. And in some communities, they're no longer able to use that as a drinking water supply. And that is in part a legacy of misuse of nitrogen fertilizers. Some of that may go back 50 years, 100 years. We don't know when that nitrogen impacted that groundwater, but we know that someone was doing something wrong. And one of those 4 R's, at least one, was not being used appropriately. So there's certainly environmental issues. Also, there's economic issues, and farmers are increasingly challenged to get every bit of profit they can from their crops. In some years, that's a real challenge. Fertilizers are one of the more expensive, if not the most expensive, input they use in crop production. So if we can save that or make it more efficient, then everybody benefits from that. And then lastly, I'm reminded that I just read recently that farmers are expected in California to get 5% of their irrigation water that's allocated by the state and the federal resources. So all of a sudden, the farmers are saying, how do I grow a crop with no water if I'm in a virtual desert, which much of California and Arizona, Utah is? So any way that we can stretch that water resource, if we can use the interactions between water and nutrients to get a little more productivity, you know, the work that Matt is doing is just going to be key for going into the future as we experience more frequent droughts and water stress. So I think the work Matt is doing is so timely. We're going to be drawing upon this research for years to come.
Matt, what about you? Why is this important?
I don't know if I can say it any better than Rob did.
He's pretty eloquent.
Rob covered it. Really, it's to help farmers be more profitable, be better stewards. Farmers are receiving a lot of pressure to be better stewards, to reduce the amount of fertilizer that's coming off of their fields, that's getting into water bodies. They're receiving pressure from the industry, from food processors and others, from the public to be more careful about how they produce food. And then add on top of that pressure from restricted water supplies. And it's an extremely difficult and challenging job that they have to try to produce high yielding, profitable crops in a way that makes everybody happy and does the best job at protecting and enhancing our environment. So that's the reason we do what we do, is to try to help provide some answers, some solutions that will help address a lot of those concerns. The thing that those maybe outside of agriculture may not always understand is that it's really a complex and challenging system to produce a crop and to do it in an environmentally sustainable and an economically sustainable way. It's a challenge because when one thing changes in your system, it changes so many other things. So if you know, we're always changing the genetics of the seed that we're placing in the field. The weather's always changing, and we think it will change even more radically in the future. And so as all these things change, it causes a lot of other things to change. And so it's always job security for us, right? But it's always a challenge to really understand those complexities and help farmers know how to manage them. That's what's exciting about our jobs.
I was just talking to a couple of our Yara sales agronomists today about that very point. And that is, these agronomists that are out there advising farmers and farmers themselves are amazing people because they may have a plant. They may have started a nutrient plan in February of this year, or maybe even last fall, and they said, okay, this is the plan, right? And they designed this plan. And, you know, even this morning I was listening on the radio here in California that the drought is turning out to be worse than we had expected this year. And so all of a sudden that plan just gets destroyed because you need the interaction of the water and the nutrients to provide and to grow a good crop. And that's going to have repercussions next year and the following year and the following year. And it's just a dynamic system out there. Matt, from your perspective, growing up on a farm and advising farmers, what can a farmer do to get more involved in improving their irrigation and nutrient management now? Before you have all the answers figured out from your research project?
It's a great question. Something that we're always, so I also work in extension, mm-hmm. and that's our mission really, is to help farmers take the best science available and try to utilize it on their operation. That would be my one piece of advice. I won't claim that universities are the only source of good science and good information, but it's certainly a great source among others. And so I would suggest to farmers that they look for the best science, best information available, and utilize that to the extent possible on their operations. And then I'd also suggest that farmers start experimenting. And many do this, sometimes not in the most rigorous way, but if possible, we always suggest that farmers start small and start experimenting on their farm. You know, if you've never managed nitrogen in a certain way that you think might be better, give it a try. You know, put a small section of a field and use it. You know, look at an enhanced efficiency fertilizer, or maybe try splitting your applications a little bit. So you're not putting it all on up front. So there's some really small things that farmers can experiment and see if it works and how well it works on their farm, their fields. And if it works, expand it and use it on more acres and just keep that process going. I think is some of the best advice I would give.
And that's one of the things I love about our industry, is there's so many resources that are available and so many smart people that are out there that are willing to help, whether that's a retail advisor, whether that's an independent agronomist, whether that's a Yara sales agronomist or an extension agent. You know, all of us want the best for the farm and the best profitability and the best environmental sustainability. It's not just about the quick buck. It's the sustainable buck.
Yeah, I like that.
You both have said it so well. You've said it so well, Matt. And I think the challenge is that we are always in a changing environment, whether it's a weather environment, market environments, the inputs that we have. And so, as you mentioned, we have to change our mental environment too and keep learning, keep trying new things. And partly that's funding research such as you were doing. Partly that's funded by the state, partly by the federal government. And then I'm really proud to be part of this industry investment too, that we're looking at answers to some of these challenging questions that we're facing. So I really appreciate your appeal for continual learning and continual experimentation. And that's exactly what you're doing. And we're looking forward to getting some great results in a few years. It may not be like we hope or like we anticipate, but we're glad you're using the very best science to tackle these really challenging problems that we're facing throughout the Western United States.
Matt, if someone is interested in what you're doing, is there a way to find out some of the preliminary results or the experiments that you're doing?
It's a good question. Yes, much of it has been highlighted on a new effort that we've few years. It's called the USU Crops, and you can find us on social media, all three platforms: Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We also have a website, usuextension.crops.edu, I believe. Those would be some of the best places to look for some of the results that we obtained from these studies.
Excellent. Well, we'll include those links in the show notes in case you're driving down the road listening to this podcast. We don't want you to be searching while you're driving. And Matt, we hope that we could check in maybe later this fall, winter, or next spring when you have your numbers crunched and kind of see which direction the wind's blowing as you're going through this multi-year research project.
That would be excellent. Be happy to check in.
Well, thank you very much, Rob, and thank you very much, Matt, for coming on. We hope this grew your knowledge a little bit. Boy, there sure is a lot of things to learn. And it's exciting. And it's not just the same old day every day. It's not Groundhog Day when you're a farmer. It's not Groundhog Day when you're an agronomist and an advisor for the food and textile system out there. And it's important to learn. That's why we started this podcast, is so that you could learn and we could share some knowledge and share ideas. So we hope you got something out of it. And we hope you come back next week and learn something more.
You've been listening to the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. For more information about our company, please visit us at www.yara.com or yara.us, or for Canada, yaracanada.ca.